Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. We've had a very exciting week in America. We've had an inauguration, and we've had some marches, and we've had lots of interesting things go on. And so many of you know that I am super patriotic, and I desperately love my country. And I think the first inauguration I saw was Reagan's. I don't think I've missed one since. It's something I take great interest in. And they're always so very beautiful. And, you know, I don't care who the candidate is or the new president is. I love inaugurations. It's kind of our American version of what the Brits get. They get all these beautiful, regal, royal events. And so an inauguration is kind of like that for us. So beautiful to see all the different flags hanging from the Capitol and, you know, so much patriotism. And even people who don't like our new president, I hope they're rooting for him, because it's, you know, I've seen the comparison made online a bunch. You know, it's almost like rooting against the pilot of your plane. If that pilot screws up, we all go down together. So being one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful countries in the world, so we got to support this guy and, you know, yay everybody. But I love the beautiful Americanism and all the soldiers and the military and the first responders out there and dress uniforms and their kilts and the parade was beautiful. And I know I sound like a total geek to most of you, but that's what I live for. That's the super specialist thing ever. So I actually camped out Friday. I cleared my schedule so I could watch the inauguration and the parade. And yes, I'm a total dork. In fact, the lock screen of my phone is the Lincoln Memorial. So that's kind of who I am. Besides this fitness person, I love that stuff. And then, so there's a lock screen, and then there's the other screen. I don't know what it's the ones your all your little apps sit over. The other screen is the Statue of Liberty. So anyways, it was super fun. I hope you enjoyed the inauguration and took in the beauty. Again, whether you like him or whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump or you don't like anyone at all, it was a beautiful event, and that made me happy. And then there was a march. And so this is all I'm taking from the march all around the country, all these ladies marching, is that they were out exercising. And so that is good. And so what I'm thinking is that we could do a march. We could do the Fitness March against slackers. And so I'm shooting from the hip here. This is what I'm thinking, but We build it up and people make signs, but our signs cannot be yucky. They cannot be foul or vulgar, anything people would be embarrassed to have their kids see. Because I have kids and they kind of saw some things they shouldn't have this weekend. But we make signs and we shout things like, produce is really good, and stick to the exact formula for weight loss, and exercise more often, and stop being a slacker. We could have those signs, and I think it would go over well. And basically, we could get people all riled up as though they're speaking their mind and they're got to be heard. That's right. We have to be heard. And then we could all march. And we're going to call it's basically just secretly getting people to exercise. So I'm apparently in favor of all marches that want to take place anywhere. Again, as long as you don't have potty mouths and yucky signs. And we certainly cannot invite celebrities because they are not to be trusted with a microphone or a sign. So we'll have to have regular Joes like you and I just yelling at people to move more often. Choose bananas. You can talk on the phone with them and you can eat them. So moving on. Today's podcast is about, I'm going to answer some of your questions. I've been hit with a ton lately. And I love it. I love that you guys come to me in public on group forums. And then I get a lot of questions on the side. Some of these I'm looking at, and the theme seem to be that they're almost common myths. They're really common questions. But the problem with these quote unquote myths is they're the stories that have been told time and time again, so much that people believe them. And it's confusing. You know, I've said it before, but fitness is, you know, fitness has been bastardized so much by the media and greedy, snaky snake oil salesmen that they're always lying to you and they're making stuff up to get you to give them money. And fitness is a $5 billion a year industry, and it shouldn't be. You know, fitness should be like exercise clothes and some exercise equipment, but people shouldn't be buying all these packaged foods that have the word diet on them, and they shouldn't have these pills and these shakes and all of that nonsense. And so I'm going to answer some questions. Please share this episode with people you think are totally being duped. That's a good idea to do. Just say, hey, I care about you. Listen to Fitz. Boy, is she smart. So first question I get was, Fitz, you say that we should lift heavy weights, but I only want to tone. I'm afraid of getting too big muscles. And so here's the deal with toning. I don't even know where the word toning comes in. It's so very Jane Fonda, and I'm actually find myself rubbing my forehead and my temples with this because I don't even know what toning is. So here's the deal. Either you're building muscle and strength or you're not. But I don't know what tone is. I just don't know what tone is. And so you should, every last one of you, be strength training. And, you know, I've asked this question before. I'm apparently repeating myself. But would, on any given day, doing any given thing, would you rather be stronger or weaker? Stronger, right? Is there any negative to being a strong person? Is there any negative to having strength and resiliency? No, there's no negative. So we want you to be strong, but not just one part. We don't want just strong biceps. I want you to be strong everywhere, from head to toe. I want you to have a strong neck, and I want you to have strong calves. And the muscle that opposes those calves, that's called an anterior tibialis. And the reason yours hurts and the reason you think you have shin splints is because that anterior tibialis muscle is underworked and it is not strong. And so we want all of your muscles to be really strong. And so stop fearing strength training. And it's the thing, well, I want to be toned. I don't want to get huge muscles. Well, most of us don't have the capacity to build massive muscles. And you've probably all seen pictures of me. I'm fairly on the small side, right? I lift like a monster. I probably lift more weights or heavier weights than some of the guys in the gym. I just simply don't have the genetic makeup to make such huge muscles. And if I did, I would certainly have to go crazy with my nutrition, packing in proteins and all sorts of other things just to try and pack on muscles. So here's the deal. Strength train, I promise you, 99.99999% of you will never, ever have to deal with muscles you think are too large. You would have to have the right genetics. You would be having to make an amazing above and beyond effort, and you would have to be focusing heavily on nutrition to purposely build big muscles. So if you're someone out there thinking, I don't want my arms to be too big, I don't want to look like a guy, or if you're a guy and you just don't want to, you know, pop out of your pants on your thighs because they're too big, don't worry about that stuff. You really don't have much to fear in that category. And I assure you, the thing that strength training will give you is hardness. It will give you curves. And so when I talk about strength training, I tell people, do you want a lean, hard, athletic body? That's what we're getting with strength. We're getting curves. We're getting rid of the squishy look. And women especially, they pick up their arms and they whack their triceps. How many of you out there have 1 to 1,000 women in your life who have said, I hate my arms, and then they jiggle their tricep area? Yeah, we can get rid of that effect with strength training. And so please don't fear it. The only thing strength training is going to bring to you is resiliency, the ability to not be injured. It's going to give you firmness to your arms and your legs and wherever you're strength training. And it's going to give you curves, curves in the right places. So we all have curves if we're gaining too much weight. We have curves that stick out, right? We have pockets of fat that bulge. That's a curve you probably don't want. So instead of worrying about getting good curves from muscles, just focus on getting the muscles, and that will help you increase your metabolism and get rid of the bulgy curves you don't. So I don't even know what toning means. to be honest with you, I don't know what toning means. Either you're building strength or you're not building strength. You're building muscles or you're not building muscles. But again, don't worry about muscle size, because you're probably not genetically disposed or making the appropriate effort in nutrition or the gym to get outlandishly bulky muscles. So yeah, if anyone knows what toning is, let me know. I don't know what toning is. I think they put toner in your printer, and I think they put toner in your hair, but there's no real thing as toning in fitness. All right, the next question is on spot reduction. I really want to get rid of my love handles. So again, that's another thing. We cannot spot reduce. You burn calories, you burn fat during exercise, you lose weight based on calorie deficits, right? So our size is a direct result of our eating habits, usually. So unless you're, some people are, oh my gosh, they're the people with a crazy metabolism that are super thin, 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 no matter what they do. Let's just remove those from the general public, because they're outliers. And there's outliers in every place in the world. However, for the rest of us who lose weight, become smaller based on our caloric budget and exercise, when you burn calories, they come from everywhere. And so you'll see people who are, imagine someone who is 400 pounds who decided, I really want to lose weight in my stomach area. That was their focus. And so they chose to lose, and they could do that. And so they lose 60 pounds, and it's all from the stomach area, but then they're still really overweight in the arms and neck and legs. Wouldn't that be weird? Yeah, so our body kind of chooses where it comes from, and usually it comes from everywhere. And I'm 45 pounds less than I was in late high school, early college, and my feet are smaller than they were back then. I used to wear a size 8.5 shoe. Now I measure at an 8. I even at some point was a 7.5 when I was really, really light when I was fighting. And so we lose weight from everywhere. It comes from our midsection. It comes from our limbs. It comes from our face and our neck. And so you cannot choose. You can strength train. You can focus on areas to target for strength and endurance. You can certainly make your shoulders curvier by lifting weights, doing a bunch of deltoid exercises, but you can't choose where the weight comes off. And here's kind of the worst part. And so lots of people think they have a problem area, a quote-unquote problem area, and they have unpleasant terms for those, but they're saddlebags, love handles, there's the belly pooch. I'm trying to think what other, I don't know, I can't come up with any more derogatory terms for fat pockets, but the place where your weight goes on first is usually the place where it comes off last. And so if you are close to your goal weight, but you still think, oh, I've got a muffin top. There's one, a muffin top. I can't get rid of it. Well, the muffin top is usually, you know, whatever your problem spot is, that's usually the last place it goes away. And it wouldn't be considered a problem spot if it weren't the last place to go away. So, you know, I have some people that are getting very close to their goal weight. Maybe they went from 225 pounds down to 175 pounds. They love the way they're feeling and looking, yet they still have this one spot. Man, I'm going to go with the belly pooch, right? We got this area underneath my belly. And it just won't go away. Well, apparently that's your spot. Weight probably gathers there first. It will be the last to go. And so it's tougher. It is certainly tougher towards the end of your weight loss journey. I have a girlfriend, Kim. I just had lunch with her yesterday. And she was telling me, she said, I've made changes in the past few weeks and I haven't seen very many results. And I said, well, Kim, you are so close to where you want to be, right? She says, yes. And I think she has 5 or 7 pounds to go. And I said, well, your problem right now is that you're already in really good shape. You've got a really cute figure. You're just trying to fine tune it. And so it's so, I hate to use the word easy because I don't want to mean to offend anyone who's having a hard time, but you know, it's easy to go from 400 pounds to 395 pounds. It's much easier to do that than to go from 135 to 130 pounds because you're losing, you know, such a bigger percentage of your body weight at the lower rate. So fine tuning. Sorry, the closer you get to your goal weight, the tougher things get. You know, if you're really out of shape at the moment, and you start exercising and you start making really good decisions with food or sticking to your caloric budget, man, the weight falls off. And I have people check out my fitness page, or more specifically, go to the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. That's H-O-T-T-I-E Body Fitness Challenge. It's a group on Facebook. You're welcome to join. But you'll see people going, I just started January 1st. So right now it's January 24th. Yesterday, I got no less than 5 to 10 messages that said, hey, I've lost 10 pounds since January 1st. And so I love that. And these people, 10 pounds in 3 weeks is outstanding. However, they'll still be with me in May. And in May, they'll be bragging about losing 3 to 4 pounds over that amount of time. Because it's much easier to go when you start off in a really poor place, your body responds quickly. And then when you're really close to your goal, it's, you know, it's just fine-tuning, right? Fine-tuning on everything requires a little more strategy, a little more discipline. And if you want to look like an athlete, you have to behave like an athlete. You have to really focus on high-quality nutrition, not just your budget, but you really have to fine-tune the quality of your caloric budget. And then you need to kill it at the gym. Going from not working out to working out will cause certainly great results at the beginning. But when you're close to your goal and you're already looking pretty good and feeling pretty good and you're fairly athletic and you do a lot of stuff, if you want to see improvements, you have to raise the bar. You have to lift more. You have to run faster, run further, or swim faster, swim further. You have to take things up a notch. So fine-tuning your body requires fine-tuning of your habits, of your behaviors too. So spot reduction, can't do it. It'll come off from everywhere and it'll be the last off if it was the first on. And you're just going to have to make a more intense effort the closer you get to your goal, because your body's ready for it. All right. Someone was asking about turning fat into muscle. Impossible. You do not turn fat into muscle. When you exercise and you eat right, eventually you start losing the fat. The fat starts disintegrating and you build muscle. But they're total separates. And so you can have both, but one does not replace the other. And I think of maybe cereal and milk, two totally different objects. You can put them in a bowl together and have both cereal with milk, but the cereal never becomes milk and the milk never becomes cereal. So you cannot turn fat into muscle. You just start getting rid of fat and building muscle. And the more muscle you have, the higher your metabolism. It just takes a lot more effort on your body's part to maintain muscle mass. So you burn a lot more calories that way. So again, strength training, do it. And on strength training, I deal with a lot of runners. And not only do I run and do races, big races with friends, and I do a lot at Disney, but I announce races all over the country, and I own one of the largest running programs for children, school children. It's called the Morning Mile. So my life is really infested with runners, and that's the way I like it. But so the Walt Disney World Marathon just passed, and that was amazing. And so many people have come out of the woodwork saying, Fitz, now that I'm done training for the Walt Disney World Marathon, I'm ready to start strength training. Oh, kill me now. Don't really, but that was such a bad idea for so many people. And it's not that I'm not happy they're starting to strength train now, but they did a marathon on flat tires. You know, it's like going, if you're going to go drive 1,000 miles, would you make sure you had air in your tires first, or would you drive 1,000 miles on flat tires? That wouldn't make any sense. And so your legs, your lower body, that's your tires. You want good ones. Not only do you want tires that are fully inflated, but you want rugged off-road tires. You want strong tires. That's going to make your trip a lot easier. And so whoever you are, wherever you are, if you are someone who walks or runs distances, strength train now. Don't put it off. Don't wait till your race is over. Don't say, well, I have to run every day, and so I don't have time for strength training. No, you say, gosh, I have to run every day. I better get in the gym or start training at home and do my strength training so these runs will be easier. So every step will feel more comfortable. So I run faster and most importantly, so I do not get injured. And so that has been something that stresses me out a little bit. And of course, it's just kind of going with the flow, and people say to run, and runners tend to run and only run. And so they miss out on the other elements of fitness. That's strength, flexibility, balance. The other thing is one of my hotties just reached out and said, oh, I fell for the second time. Oh, thankfully, he did not post a photo of his ripped up knees. Thank you for not doing that, everybody on the planet, because that is unattractive. That is it's just kind of gross. It's kind of gross to open up my computer and see someone's bleeding legs or their nasty blisters. So this person did not show a picture, but he's fallen twice. And so I'm concerned enough that I reached out and said, we need to talk about balance training. And so, you know, the purpose of balance training, the real benefit of balance training is so you don't lose your balance and fall down. And strength training, important. If you're a runner, if you're just someone who walks or goes places, you should have good balance. And so make sure that's a very frequent part of your exercise routine. And it could simply be doing something as standing on one foot in your living room. And once you get comfortable with that, some people can't do that. They can't do that without wobbling all over the place. And so get to a place where you can stand on one foot. If you can do so comfortably, close your eyes. Just close your eyes. All of a sudden, everything changes. Once you can do stand there with your eyes closed on one foot, start moving your arms around. Your arms become your weights, and they will throw you off balance. So do that. You can move your opposite leg around in the air. And when you are balancing, the way to know you are challenged is to do something that makes you wobble. And so if you can stand, say you're a karate guy, and you can stand on one foot with the other foot way high in the air and you have perfect balance, great. Now do that on a pillow, or do it on a stack of pillows, or do it on a balance tool such as a Bosu or a balance disc. Do anything that throws you off. That's how you make yourself better. And if you're in a place where you're fragile, do balance training with access to hold onto a wall or a countertop or a friend, because if you're really at risk of falling down, you should make sure you don't. You should make sure you have some options surrounding you. So that's my rant on that. And I think I blew through the questions asked this week. And there's another thing I wanted to talk about. And I think you guys know I'm a pretty open book. I'm a straight talker. And so a couple of episodes ago, Melissa and I were talking about a concert we went to. And there's a singer, Lucas Graham. And as we started talking about him, the point I wanted to relay was that he did this kind of sexy strip show during the concert. And I just thought it was so funny the way he was kind of, the way he was trying to be coy about it. He went from a sweater to a white tank top to no shirt, but he was kind of flashing his abs while lifting. And mind you, the guy was in great shape. Well, he's not in great shape, but he was in fine shape. He's a guy who's trim and there's nothing wrong with him. But anyways, Melissa gave me the eye roll and said something about, I don't know, him taking off his shirt. And I said, yes, he could do push-ups and I could help him get in better shape. So I was sent two private messages from women I totally admire who were very upset at me for saying I was body shaming him. So I went back and listened. I thought, oh my gosh, I certainly didn't mean that, especially since he wasn't even in bad shape. So there's the starter. It's not like he's a guy who's out of shape. I couldn't have made fun of him because he was not in bad shape to begin with. But I listened to it and I thought, you know what? I'm not really embarrassed about what I said. I could have gone back. I could have deleted that segment, re-uploaded the episode. But it's something I felt okay with. But they reached out and I said, listen, that wasn't my intent. I'm sorry if you took it that way. And if anyone out there felt the same way, I'm sorry you took it that way. I'm sorry, Lucas Graham. I wasn't picking on you. You're a great singer. I never heard of you before, but being exposed to the concert, you certainly have a great voice and you're a tremendous balladeer. So I wasn't picking on his body. I do not pick on bodies. And in fact, I was a person who was really uncomfortable in her skin, 45 pounds heavier. I was a bulimic. I was a mess. Go listen to episode one of the Fitness Show and you'll hear where I was and where I've come. And really, I guess one of the things that one of the women was harping on, she said, well, people who don't know you, they may listen and they may get the wrong impression. And so again, that's fine. That's fine. Maybe someone listened and said, I hate this person. She's a monster. I'm never listening to her. Fitz Kohler is the worst person on the planet. But my response to her is, listen, I'm not perfect. And I don't think what I said was that horrible. The intent certainly wasn't horrible at all. And I would like to be judged on the accumulation of my efforts and the accumulation of my productivity and who I am as a person. And so on occasion, you guys might disagree with me. Or maybe I say something that makes me sound like a blowhard. Okay, there you go. I've claimed it. I am completely imperfect. But what you should know right out of the box is that there is nobody with greater intentions for you. When it comes to health and fitness, I understand where you are. I've been there. My heart bleeds for people that are unhappy in their skin. And gosh, if I could go in all of your brains and A, start by making you feel good about who you are today, and then flip that switch to get you to move forward, because I don't really care what you look like. Here's the thing. You come to me because you want to look better in your jeans or your swimsuit, and I can help you with that. My methods, the things that I provide to you, the training, gets you to the body you feel really good about on a beach. However, when I look at you, I just think, how can I tack quality years onto this person's life so they can be here with their family, so they can have fun, so they can make it to 99 years old, and they can still have a good time without a bunch of pain? My motives are... maybe they're very calculating. You're thinking I'm helping you with getting ripped abs. And really, in my heart, I'm hoping we can all play together in 70 years. So that's where I am. But I'm very imperfect. And this is the thing. I don't have anyone in the entire planet which I agree perfectly with on everything. But I can look at a person and see the big picture and judge them on that, decide, do I want to associate with this person or not? And you can look at me and pick me apart and decide whether I'm your cup or whether I'm your cup of tea or not. But you know, this whole thing with this singer, again, it was just two people who reached out, but they were very upset, and they're people I care about. And so I thought, well, maybe some of you misinterpreted what I said, or maybe it came across weird. But again, the guy's in great shape. I wasn't picking on his body. I said I could get him in better shape, but I think I could get everybody in better shape. And I certainly wouldn't pick on him, and I wouldn't pick on you. And I have two children, and they're not allowed to say stupid, dumb, moron, ugly, shut up. They're also not allowed to say fat, and they're not allowed to say skinny. Those are things in our home that we do not use those words as prosecutions, nor do we use them as things we want to hold ourselves up to. Skinny's just as much of an ugly word as fat. And we don't refer to those people that way. We talk about the qualities of people. But I also see not only with, you know, and hopefully they were concerned for me that I may build a horrible reputation based off of this Lucas Graham comment. But I look and everybody seems to be kind of throwing other human beings under the bus based off of simple things. And I'm going to reveal something where I'm not going to reveal his name, but I have a neighbor who, he's a little bit racist. He treats people of all races with respect, but we've talked over the years, and for the most part, he's a really nice guy to all the neighbors of all colors. But I've heard him say some things that kind of, you know, just make me shudder. And then I heard him say the N-word the other day in a group, and I didn't want to address it in front of the group, but I pulled him aside. I saw him at the gym the other day. And we were talking about something else. I said, can you come over here? I'd like to talk to you. And he said, okay. And I go, listen, we're not racist. He looks at me with his bug eyes. I go, I heard what you said the other day, and you can't say that around us. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry that, you know, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, you can't, you just can't do that. And my kids, thank God, didn't hear it. But because, you know, my kids know that's also a word that's off limits. We don't care your size. We don't care about your color. We care about your actions. But I told him, I said, it's not okay. We don't judge people based on their color. And I'm also really uncomfortable with the word. That's not going to go okay with me. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And as he was saying that, this big black dude walks by in the gym and he goes, see, that guy's my friend. And I go, well, I imagine he would be really sad if he heard you use that word. And he looks and he goes, yeah, you're right, aren't you? I said, I am. So I'm not your mom. I'm not telling you what to do, but you can't use those words around me, and we don't feel the same way. So if you feel comfortable using that as though we agree, we don't. And he had a very good reaction. He was very apologetic, but I look at this man and I've seen him treat people well. This is a problem. I've seen him treat people like gold. And then he just has this really, I don't know, he says these stupid things. And maybe that is what's in his heart. He's a neighbor. We don't hang out all the time or really ever. But I also like him. So, you know, I hope he can think about what I said about the conversation we had and decide if that's who he wants to be and the guy he wants to portray with that, you know, especially when it comes to skin color. I think this whole skin color thing is really stupid. I think your skin does nothing more than hold your insides in, right? It's your body bag. It's your Ziploc. It keeps your organs and your bones and your meat and your blood and your goo inside. And so that's the point of your skin. And I really don't care which color yours is. You got to be either a good person or a productive person. You got to be a thoughtful person, a funny person, a sarcastic. You have to have all these qualities that make me like you. But I don't care if you're white as snow or black as night. None of that matters. I just don't care. So, yeah, I'm not judging anyone based on their appearance. And I hope you don't either. I hope we can be nice to each other. And, you know, again, this is, you know, I had the finger pointed at me and I addressed it. And then I didn't point my finger at this guy, but I confronted him. And I want you guys to be honest with me and just remember who I am to you. You know, am I a person that helps you do better and be better? Am I a person who helps you feel better about yourself, who takes you to the next level? I want to be that person because I really, really care about you. And I can't be everything. You know, someone reached out a few months ago and said, I commented on a political post. I didn't put the post on my Facebook page, but I commented on someone else's. And he messaged me and said, I can't believe you made that comment. And it wasn't even rude or lewd. I just agreed or didn't agree. And I finally reached out. I said, listen, I am a person. I'm allowed to engage in a political conversation. You don't have to agree with me. And as you guys know, I bring nothing to the show other than the fact that I love America. And I'm going to stick with that. And I agree with lots of stuff on both sides of the fence. Some things I'm straight down the middle. But I keep that out of my podcast other than, you know, I love my country. And if you don't like that I love my country, I don't care. But he really was upset that I commented on this other post. And I said, back off. I'm allowed to be that person. And you know what? I don't drink almost ever. And you guys know that. But if I had a few beers and you saw me out, I'd probably drop some ugly language too. Not in a mean way, but silly. I would have some F-bombs perhaps and maybe the B-word. And there would be nonsense. I'm totally imperfect. But again, I want you to know that when it comes to fitness, I feel like I know everything. I don't know everything, but I know enough to steer you right, okay? And when I always tell people, because people say I'm so smart, I go, I'm not so smart. But I'm on one thing, I'm almost always right. You can assume that on every other subject in the world, I'm probably wrong. So let's stick with that. I'm grateful that these women reached out to me and told me what they thought. And I accept that. And I told them that wasn't my intent. And, you know, I hope to have thousands and thousands of more podcasts. I will be on TV many more times. I will stand on stages many more times. And when we talk about fitness, I'm probably going to be right most of the time. We'll have to have a conversation if I'm actually wrong about a fitness principle. However, if I say something off the cuff that you don't agree with, you can let me know, or you can decide that overall in the big picture, Fitz Kohler has helped me lose weight. She's helped me gain strength. She has gotten me out of my back pain. And that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Expect me to be imperfect. And then, you know, be gentle with the people around you. Be gentle. There's a lot of neighbors, you know, who are really good in so many ways and have these little flaws. And then you just got to let them know, hey, I don't do that. But we can be friends in this other way. And then there's people you completely remove from your life because they make it worse. And I've done that. I've done that too. But we should be nicer. That's immoral. Just be nice. Can't we all get along? Let's add that to the march for exercise and eating healthy. It'll be our fitness march for health and niceness. So on that note, you've got more than you probably signed up for. For everyone who is out there running or doing cardio while you're listening. I love that. Make sure when you get off of that machine or you pull up into your driveway after your run, strength training, give me some lunges, do some burpees, do some angry ups, and always finish with a little bit of balance training, a lot of stretching, and eat healthy, folks. I love you, everyone. I love all of you every day. When you get a chance, follow me at Fitsness on Pinterest, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Send me your questions. I'd love to answer them on a future show. Tell your friends about the show. Oh, and you can like the show. You could share the show. You could give me a nice review. Because who doesn't want to do that? That would be nice. All right, team, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Get to work.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.